Let's get started. I know most of you. I see faces that I'm familiar with, friends, family, neighbors. Let's get started. I have several things I'm going to be using to present for my class to make interesting so nobody's going to be bored. The nature of my stories also requires a very good background and a good attention. So if you don't pay attention, you miss something small, you're going to get lost. Dr. Min Thompson, who used to be my teacher, my former professor, you mentioned that you have somebody to do my introduction? Or?
I am the person to do your introduction.
Okay. Do you mind?
Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Sure. Well, good afternoon. My name, as Serge let you know, is Dr. Mindy Thompson. I teach in the Graduate School of Theology faculty here at ACU, and it was my pleasure and my privilege to have Serge as one of my students when he was a student in the Graduate School of Theology. Serge is from Kigali, Rwanda. He and his wife, Esperanza, and their children, Serge Jr. and Joel Mann, now live in Dallas.
Yeah, in Fort Worth.
In Fort Worth, okay,
yes.
Thank you. Serge has received many, many awards as a student, both in the areas of academics and in the area of athletics. In April of 2000, I'm running through quite a few of the things here to provide lots of time for Serge for his presentation. In April of 2014, you penned a first-person autobiography about the 1994 genocide in Rwanda that cost the lives of many of his immediate family and relatives. The book's theme addresses, contrasts the ideals and the need for reconciliation and conflict resolution against the backdrop of the actions of others that caused unimaginable suffering. The Search has copies of that book here. If you do not already have one, would highly recommend that you purchase one. It is a difficult but necessary read. Serge has also been honored with several invitations to speak in different places. He is the founder of Rwanda Children, which provides, in the name of Jesus, housing, food, family, and hope to the forgotten children of Rwanda. And I am especially touched by the quote from Nelson Mandela that he included in his biographic information. "We recall our terrible past so that we can deal with it. To forgive where forgiveness is necessary, without forgetting. To ensure that never again will such inhumanity tear us apart. And to move ourselves to eradicate a legacy that lurks dangerously as a threat to our democracy." Thank you for providing your full attention and encouragement to my former student, my brother in Christ, and my friend, Serge Gisser.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Would you please join me in a prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us wisdom and may our presence on earth in a positive way impact lives of other people, and may every day you give us be used to glorify you even more. May our houses rescue those at risk. God, I pray that your presence remains in countries like Ukraine, Syria, in the Republic of Central Africa, Congo, and many places of the world that are facing wars and evil has taken them. God, I ask that no one should be judged by how they look, how powerless they are, and where they come from, and so on. May peace be in those children around the world who are fighting to make to the next day and are ignored by some societies. God, we are amazed by your grace, and we believe and ask all these in the name of your Son, Jesus, who came to save us. Amen. Amen. I know you are here because you care about people. You care about people who are suffering in all the nations. That's why I want to challenge you to look in the eyes of the person next to you and say this Let's say this together. I'm going to count three, and then we're going to say it. One, two, three. Peace, let there be life. Many times, I'm awake because of that. My name's Serge Gasori, like Dr. Mindy Thompson mentioned. My wife and I, we live in Abilene. I'm working in Fort Worth area. I didn't move my wife to Fort Worth because my wife was in the middle of the semester when I got a job. So I decided to keep my wife here so she can finish school while I'm working to take care of them. It has been a very good journey for me and my wife to be in this country. And every opportunity we get, we use it to bless other kids in Rwanda. I'm going to try to give you a little bit about my background. I'm from Rwanda, like you heard. I graduated from ASU with undergraduate and master's. I just finished my my second master's this past May. People on the screen is my wife, my two little kids, and then those other kids you see in a class, in a classroom, are kids me and my wife adopted, and they are being taken care of under Wonder Children Ministry. So total of them, I have 8 children, me and my wife. They're in Rwanda, and every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, how are those kids doing? What can I do to better them? I want to tell you that I'm so thankful that God, who humbles me, has been very great to me and my wife. I'll tell you, in 2004, right before I come here, that's less than 10 years. I did not have hope. I did not have faith. In fact, I did not think about the future. I was living in the past, and I did not care about how tomorrow is going to be. But I'm standing here less than 10 years. God has given me a heart to care for children. Now I can think about the future. I can think about being a better husband, a better father, and a better Christian. I am from Africa, in Rwanda. Many people do not understand Africa every time you say it. Because in class, in schools, they say that Africa is a nation. Africa is a continent. It's a continent, and opinions people have on both sides are different. People in Africa, in Rwanda, they think that if you live in America, you've seen George W. Bush. You've seen R. Kelly or Beyonce. And we all live in Washington. Those are false assumptions. And people in the United States, but I'll tell you one thing they got right. Everybody in Texas is a fan of Cowboys. I remember before I came in America, they said, don't mess up with Texans. They all have guns. in Rwanda, I know we don't have Pizza Hut, we don't have McDonald's, but we have people who love each other. This is very true. I know you might be like, Serge, we heard your story is very sad. One time in Rwanda it was chaos, but that's not what it is right now. People are very nice. People in America sometimes also think that we don't have TV, no cars. We live in a jungle, and that's a wrong assumption too. So you can see that both sides always like have some wrong assumptions, which I think makes interesting. People can be everywhere at the same time. So But I'll tell you to. I'm trying to get to the point where genocide happened. Genocide happened because of the colonies. The colonies that came from Belgium. Belgium and remind me some German, right? I don't know why I can't remember, and I wrote it in the book. So, but you know, if you are, you know, when you are standing in front of your professor, you are nervous. So, yeah. But in Rwanda, we are very social. What I can do to my neighbor and to my family is that's what is important to us. We care each other. I'm glad my professor is not even looking at me, so I won't be nervous a lot. So Rwanda is a religious country. It's just that there are Christians who are wounded and need friends of Jesus to walk with them in that recovery. It would be wrong to anyone to go there thinking that there is need of scripture lessons. They probably know God than we think. Not only they know God, they have experienced His mercy and love. Rwanda has experienced the hand of God than never before. I will tell you why I really think Rwandan people are standing strong. Most of you may recall where in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23-25, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. I have no doubt that God have heard the crying of people in Rwanda. They are growing stronger and stronger every day. Even those who are here in America, everywhere in all the nations, we are still helping our country get back on their feet. You remember God heard their groaning and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. That's the moment of Rwanda right now. When you see miracles that are happening in Rwanda, you understand that God has heard their cry after the trouble that happened during the 1994 Rwanda genocide. Rwanda genocide, I talk about in that book. Rwandan people wants to partner with those who can help them get up on their feet. They had missionaries in the past from Germany and Belgium. These were connected to Vatican or Catholic, if you want to put it that way, who came and taught Bible 24 hours, 7 days. But they made sure at the end of their mission, when they left Rwanda, Rwanda was divided into 3 tribes. This is still haunting us up to this date. I'm here though to admit that every day is a struggle for me because I do not understand why we are so dangerous to each other and we claim to be a humankind. After Belgians left Rwanda, Hutu tribe, which is one among those 3, decided to kill Tutsis in 1959, and they did it with hope that at the end of their mission, there will be no more Tutsis. I was a Tutsi by that time. But Rwanda right now is one nation, one people. I'm not a Tutsi anymore. I'm a person. Hutu killed most of Tutsis, and those who managed to survive left Rwanda to neighboring countries. And they lived in refugee camps, and this is where God took care of them for many years, like God took care of his people when they're in captivity. You are probably not going to hear me mentioning all the tribes, because one of the tribes, which was Tua, was not involved whatsoever. They were just people who lived in the jungle, who just made pots, and that was enough for them. The Tua group, you give them a hands of beans this much and say, hey, go kill Serge. They'll come in next second. So they didn't care about leadership or power. So when I'm talking here, or whatever you're going to see in the video, you won't hear Tua being mentioned. You hear Tutsi and Hutu. Even the book, I'm talking about Hutu and Tutsis. When those who were outside of Rwanda in a refugee camp, one day God saw their desire to return in their native country, Rwanda, and picked several Moses and Aaron among them who would take them back to their home country, Rwanda. It is very important that I mention that those Tutsi who survived and did not get to go in those refugee camps outside of Rwanda stayed in Rwanda and lived under pressure for a long time. I'm going to try to make this very short. In 1990, Rwanda had over 94% of Christians overall. But once Hutu learned that Tutsi who were outside were wanting to come back in their country, Rwanda, the situation turned into worse. The Hutu government started to teach hate and divisions. Catholic priests, Christian churches, and Roman Catholic started to encourage and teach hate among people. Schools went on to do the same thing. I myself witnessed this. I remember seeing fellow classmates and very young kids being trained about how to kill another Tutsi or a humankind. We are seeing this happening every day in Ukraine, Russia, and many countries. It will be so naive for anyone to ignore that, because anything can happen anywhere. Evil is alive. Who would believe that a country like Rwanda, with 94% of Christians, can be taken by evil overnight, and in a matter of 100 days, 1 million people out of 3 million would be killed. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you to pray, write, talk, and confront evil so we can all live in peace. We have more power than we think. I will tell you this. God saved me for a purpose. And although I'm still wondering why, many good people died. Neighbors, friends, they died in front of me. I remember coming out of the bush where I was hiding for many days. And I came out, I saw my relatives, my family, dead bodies, one on top of each other. I can count them. Those were very nice people than me. I don't think I'm a good person. But they left too soon. So I think I have a purpose to accomplish.
Yes.
Thank you. We are very close to the truth. All of a sudden, Rwanda government of that time, and which was made by Hutu, from the bottom to the top level of administration, they decided to keep those Tutsis outside of Rwanda. They denied a peaceful and safe return of those Tutsis who were outside. Peace talk started in the middle of the partners of the Hutu president decided to kill him before he agrees with the Tutsi for a safe return. As he was coming from a peace talk, his people shut down his plan. Immediately, Hutu used the president's death as an excuse to implement the plan of killing Tutsis who are still in the country. That's me. So they can take their properties and leave themselves. We had a lot of cows in my family, my relatives, more than 200 cows. But in a matter of 100 days, we had zero. They ate them. They would come and kill us during the day. And then in the evening, they would go celebrate by eating our cows, dancing, getting ready to come and kill the rest the next morning. It was chaos. I remember smelling blood until I could not smell no more. For several nights, I slept by my teacher, who was dead. He was my kindergarten teacher. I slept beside him for many nights, but I couldn't smell anything. My smell senses were numbed to where I couldn't smell. His image will never leave my mind. I still see my kindergarten teacher every day. That's the short description of Rwanda genocide. And if I talk about my everyday of my story in Rwanda, it will take 2 days. So that's a way I found to make it short. And my book could be found on this website, Archway Publishing Company. If you want to buy and learn about more, the book is not expensive. Let's talk about things that I really think everybody should take away at the end of the day. I am not so sorry for whatsoever. I'm just telling a story, and you have a story to tell too. You might have had a person or a family member die in a car accident or killed by a disease. You might have had trouble in your marriage. You might have had problems in your family. You have a story. You have stories to tell. And whether you believe or not, those stories can change somebody's lives, can be a good encouragement for the person who thinks that everything is going down. All those are stories to be told, but can we spend time and fight for justice? Can we spend time and our financials and help to fight injustices around the world? You are here because you have a heart that wants to make change. You are here because you know and you are searching for the greatest purpose of you still being around when other people left this earth too soon. At one point in life, I thought that human beings were created evil and nothing good a child deserved. Bad education I received and opportunities God placed in my hands reminded me those kids who are living lives that I lived when I was young. I have realized that we belong to each other. Also, living in the community that lives for Jesus restored my faith. My faith grew so much, and I believe God has called me to minister to those kids who are at risk. Often I wake up in the middle of the night thinking of those days when so many times I was undermined, abused, and neglected, and I was searching for a rescuer, and no one was there to rescue me, except God, who stayed beside me during those days, and now I'm standing here talking to you. That itself makes me want to continue fighting for those kids who are in the similar situation. I'll tell you, we have a few kids that lives in our house, but we feed more than seven kids a day. On Sundays, because when we picked the house mother, we wanted a mother who's going to shine through the community. People comes to her on Sundays and say, "Can you take our kids to church?" That's what keeps me going. People wonder, "Serge, you do too much. You are here and here." But at the end of the day, when I go to work and my boss is not happy, I go home. I still go home and sleep where? Because I know I'm making a difference. So that's what keeps me going. If one day I hope those kids will be standing here talking to you. Just doing a little, helping someone. That's it I have for today. I'm not a very good speaker, but I try to raise my voice. But if you have a question, I'll be happy to take it. And sorry for the technology.
When are you going to get the children to come to live with
you? They're going to be there. We want to build more houses. We want to build about 10 more houses and put in more kids.
I thought you said you had adopted about 4 kids.
No, they're going to stay in Rwanda.
Spiritual adoption.
Yes. So we're going to put more kids. We'll probably one day have 60 kids. But in Rwanda, they're discontinuing the orphanage system. So we're going to have families. There will be a family here, 4 kids. Family here, 4 kids, 6. They will make a village. That's where we're going. And we hope like we will raise more surge there. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tell them about the health care, how much it costs to provide health care, and how much for
education. In 2010, my wife and I knew that we didn't have much, and we came up with a way to help by using what we had. We paid, that time insurance was $2 per a kid to have insurance for 1 year. Hospital bills, everything, you name it, as long as it is done in a hospital, $2 will cover it. Right now, it has moved to $5, but we are still doing it. We are providing healthcare for about 1,000 every year. So, any question?
How much is your book?
15 if I sign it. My wife was in a class. Yes, yes. She's in a class. She would have loved to be here, but she's in a class right now. Yes, but my wife and my 2 kids. Question? All right. That's the end of the class. God bless you all.